Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We are live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. You need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family. Rocket can. Happy Thanksgiving to you. A supersized Thanksgiving weekend. I hope you get most of the time off. We chose to work tonight because it's a super easy commute in and out of New York City, which is where our CBS radio headquarters are located, but also because it's a fun show to do in the wake of a great Thanksgiving meal and in the wake of what was just a fun day of football and something for everyone, including the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. We get it. It's there. The way that we saw some win streaks extended, some losing skids ended, others begun. I mean, there's just plenty of storylines from these three games, this triple header on Thanksgiving Day. And as we were talking about the Cowboys and the Raiders just before the top of the hour and kind of giving you the deets of how it goes into overtime, I know a lot of people want to complain about the penalties, but the only thing you ever ask of officials, at least in my opinion, this is how I was taught as an athlete, is that they're consistent. They're calling it the same for both teams. You can adjust. But the Cowboys and Raiders never adjusted. And so they kept getting flagged, but the officials were consistent. Literally 14 flags for each team. How can you be more consistent than that? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Now, coming up in mere moments, Matt the Musher, our adopted Iditarod racer from Alaska. He's waiting until we give you some of the post-game reaction to Raiders and Cowboys. You can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS. We've got the NFL Game of the Week poll up. Man, there are some great games coming up this weekend. So check that out. Plus, an introduction video with producer James. Finally, that's on our YouTube channel. We put up the walnut apple crisp recipe. We've got pictures of Matt the Musher's dogs. Just go to the social media matrix, will you please? After Hours CBS, and then also on our Facebook page. And our YouTube channel is also named after the show. Now, to go to that overtime drive with the Raiders, and they've got the ball, and of course there were multiple points where it looked as though they might be stopped, they might be dead in the water, they might not get to field goal range. The big penalty was the fourth defensive pass interference penalty on Anthony Brown. Do you know he hadn't had a DPI or a pass interference call all season until this game? And then he ends up with four of them. Okay, so it's obviously glaring. But again, the officials had shown him early on. They'd shown the team early on how they were calling this game. And so it's frustrating to be sure. If you're Anthony Brown, you feel like crap about it. But you've got to adjust to the officials. And so this was the big one, the fourth one that came in OT.
It's frustrating, but at the same time, we got to deal with it. So we got to try to fight through it, you know. The other team dealing with it, too, they're getting calls, too. So we can't complain about that. We just got to keep fighting.
Big plays. I mean, that was obviously part of their offense approach. You know, has been particularly in a number of situations. They're effective with it today. 28 penalties. I don't know what the hell you want me to say. I mean, so right where you want, I'm all for it.
So Mike McCarthy clearly frustrated in the wake of this game. 28 penalties, the combined number, 14 for each team, 276 yards. So yeah, the penalties are impossible to miss, and they definitely changed the tone and tenor of this game, but they did not change the outcome of this game. The Cowboys had the ball first on their own field on Thanksgiving in overtime. They win the coin flip. They go three and out. That was your opportunity. Where's your high-powered, high-vaunted, big-time offense? Now, they were missing Zeke on a lot of plays, but they had Tony Pollard. They were missing Amari Cooper as well as CeeDee Lamb. I get it, top two receivers. But you know what? Both Michael Gallup and Cedric Wilson were over 100 yards receiving. You can make excuses all day. You can blame the refs if you want, but you had the ball first in overtime at home, and you did nothing with it. So here are the Cowboys who've dropped three of their last four.
I love them. I'm proud of the way they fight. You know, we talked about the officials last night in the meeting. This is the history of how they officiate. We needed to do better in that area. We'll continue to work on it. Obviously, we're going through a tough patch, so we make no excuses. But I'm proud of them, and I'm, you know, the only thing we know how to do is work. So we'll get back at it tomorrow.
We've got to get back to believing in the basics and just playing fundamental football and being smarter. Being smart, as I said, being able to keep the officials out of the game, playing complimentary football, scoring touchdowns when the defense gets turnovers, we'll be okay. In the sense is, I'm sure a bunch of people are jumping off the bandwagon, which is fine with us because we know what we're capable of. We know the team that we have. More importantly, we know the men that are in that locker room. And that's the most important thing, is just our belief in each other. And that's not going anywhere. It's not faded. We lost a tough one in an overtime game today, and that's the bottom line.
It may not be time to panic yet, but if the Eagles win again on Sunday, well, then it's uncomfortably close for the Cowboys in the NFC East. So the Eagles are on the road at the Giants, one of those typical East battles, the soap opera of the NFL, that division. But if the Eagles win that game, you're going to feel a bunch of Cowboys fans get super nervous, as Dak Prescott said about jumping off the bandwagon. And we get that. People are starting to panic. But come on, if the Cowboys are 7-4 and the Eagles are 6-6, I'm just saying, they're within shouting distance. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Just to get to Derek Carr, because he's so emotional all the time. He wears his heart on his sleeve. And the Raiders were desperate for a win in this game. And I think desperation maybe made the difference and gave them the edge.
For our whole team, everything that's gone on, for us to be able to bounce back, it says a lot about the football character of the men. And is Josh here? Josh not here. But to answer his question, like, you know, that's why I believe, you know, that we can do, you know, keep going and make it a good run.
Don't want to say it's a must win, but I think we felt it a little bit. 5-6, a whole lot worse than 6-5. And to be the good Cowboys team on Thanksgiving in prime time, I felt like we showed the heart of our team today. It really did. You know, to fight like we did, you know, for them to go down and score and us respond, I really feel good about, you know, the character of our team, especially what we've been through.
Hunter Renfro says it very well, the heart, the fight of the team. And it starts with Derek Carr, who said, by the way, that he got advice from John Gruden and was channeling that. Big time for them on the ground, 143 yards and two touchdowns rushing. So that was also huge. Derek Carr close to 400 yards passing and did not have a turnover in this game, which is also big. So the Raiders now at 6-5, and they're back above 500, but also creeping in the AFC West. This division is nuts. The Chiefs are 7-4. The Chargers are 6-4. The Raiders are 6-5, and the Broncos are 5-5. It's like the AFC North. Those two divisions. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. All right. Without further ado, we're so pleased to welcome back to the show from Alaska, Matt the Musher, our adopted Iditarod racer. And Matt, first of all, happy Thanksgiving. How does a trainer or trainee, I guess I would say, in like you are with your dogs and your handlers and everything else, celebrate Thanksgiving?
We took separate roads. Everyone kind of had down days. We're in between training blocks, so the dogs are just they're eating, you know, their gross stuff, and we all just kind of did a day away from the yard. The handlers are at the main handlers at the yard enjoying the snow, the swamp with the dogs, and just hanging out. And I took a day off and just did family stuff, which is, you know, it's kind of keeps me grounded coming back home and just kind of focusing on what's most important. And then we'll get back at it tomorrow.
Good. Now, how about the Lions? Did you watch the Lions?
Yeah, you know what? They have this amazing ability to pick you up and then set you right on down. So we've been dealing with this since childhood. It's fun to watch. You know, Amy, I'm so bad. Who is the tall receiver that they just picked up? That guy looks like a pro as far as their receiving core. I'm just blanking on his name right now. But, you know, I'd like to see some of the good stories on that. Amon Brown and just see, you know, Jamal Williams kind of charging through. There's some toughness on that team.
Yeah.
I think as fans, we can't give up because, I mean, the Seahawks were poor at one point. The Bucks were terrible at one point. You know, there's and when it comes around, you know, it'll be fun to watch the Lions be good someday. We all know it's a long ways away, but we'll see, you know.
Right.
Who knows?
So Josh Reynolds, by the way, is the receiver that you're talking about. But I feel like it's, I don't know, I guess you can decide, but someone who's also a Michigan State fan, that maybe it's easier to talk about the Lions than the Spartans right now, but I could be totally wrong.
Oh, I think they're equivocal, but that Spartans loss reminds me of the when they, you know, were in the playoffs and they played Alabama. We went over to an Alabama alumni's game. Laney had dove for Alabama, and we saved the game. We recorded it, and somehow I accidentally caught a live game in the scroll across the bottom, and it was 49-0. So there was a lot of that
at halftime. Yes.
Yeah, so we you know, some of that, there were some flashbacks there, but regardless, I mean, seeing Mel Tucker come into there into that university with the pride and the presence that he has, it's university. I mean, we have great things. We have Izzo, but we've had some, you know, some other things that have happened at the university that are disgraceful. Mm-hmm. You know, and Mel Tucker is he's the guy that's going to come in, and he's going to just lead the university, I think, in a prideful way. And I think he'll be great for the young men there. It's a university. I take a lot of pride in. As I was coming up as a nurse, I got to work with both the basketball and the football teams, and I was there, you know, I drug testing for them, so I got to be in the locker rooms and see the culture around there, and I love it. It's a neat old university, and, you know, that's one of the things I definitely miss about being in Michigan, is just being around big-time sports like that, without a doubt.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, it's not as though Michigan State is alone on its island. There are a lot of universities that are kind of having these come to Jesus moments where some of the ways that they've conducted business are getting exposed, and they should be, but I know it's painful for alumni. But you could look all over the United States and see universities that are having these transformations that needed to happen a long time ago, but better late than never. So yeah, that's good. That's all good progress moving forward, as you point out. Matt the Musher is with us from Alaska. Where in Alaska are you right now?
I'm in Eagle River.
That's right, Eagle River.
South Central. This is the rail belt, I guess. We're pretty close to, I mean, we're just a bedroom community of Anchorage, but training out of Willow, Alaska. It's the world headquarters of mushing. I think the highest concentration of mushers anywhere. And it is amazing.
So does it get busy on the roads? Are there traffic jams with the mushers?
Oh, man, let me tell you, some of the things, yes, absolutely, and especially when we get snow and we actually get on our trails. Right now, we have had remarkable, remarkable cold and not a lot of snow. Snow started, it fell like at the end of September, and we thought, oh, boy, here we go. We're going to have tons of snow.
Mm-hmm.
We have yet to be on sledge yet. In our own area, we have to travel like 200 miles north to get to snow, which we did. We did a nice training trip, and it was actually a very, very the most I've got to know our dogs, and it was a really neat, intimate experience. We learned some things. We probably gave them too much rest on the camping trip, and they kind of got a little hippy with each other. but we tested them. We did a marathon. We camped for 3 hours. We did about 26 miles, and then we did, and this was on sleds, which was absolutely wonderful. And then we did another 20 miles after that 26 mile rest, and we did 3 hours rest. And then we ran 17 miles into this beautiful lodge, Alpine Creek Lodge, on the Denali Highway. And, we stayed, and most teams would give like about 8 hours of rest and turn around and go, but we knew it was like the most they had ran. We'd only done a 20 back-to-back 20 milers at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And so we pushed them really hard, but you know, and you don't, the thing is, you get a few young dogs, and you just don't want to injure anybody. You don't want to push too hard. So we ran all night long, and wow. We had the Aurora, and we just kind of nice and chilled, but they never lost power going in. And pulling out of the last camp, I was the first team out. We broke our team down into three, and it was about maybe 10 degrees or so. We'd stop for 3 hours. And so we had three dog teams and a snow machine, a snowmobile, pulling a sled, and the snowmobile didn't start. So I took off down the road, and I'm like in it just zen. Like, you know, it's quiet. It's just, you know, the huffing and puffing of the dogs and aww. The patter of their feet and the glide of the rails on the snow. And it was just glorious. And we had just finished this huge Aurora display, and I was just great. And about, you know, half an hour goes by, I look back and I see no one behind me. I see no headlamps. It's middle of the night. I know no snow machine. So I get into the lodge, and this has happened a lot, like where either people will get lost behind me or take their time. And I get into the lodge and I do all the dog chores. I pull their booties off and I get them onto aww. A straw and start cooking for them. And I'm like, where the hell is everybody? And the sun's starting to come up, and I'm like, there's two dog teams and a snow machine. And I figured the dogs never break down. They always keep going, but the snowmobile didn't keep going. And so Josh, one of the handlers, had Stick, this guy that just kind of volunteered to come ride along with us, in his basket. So Josh is driving a small nine dog team. And here's this, and Josh is like 220 pounds, 200, maybe 250 even pushing, and Stick's a big man himself. And those dogs were just clicking up the hills. Like wow. Once they pulled them in. So, we had a different strategy than anybody else on the highway. We had small teams and heavy loads coming into the lodge. We even did a mail run for this lodge. We picked up mail, put it in our sleds, and brought it into them. Like,
whoa!
It was super cool Alaskan experience. But we rested them, we turned around, and we ran out Amy the next day, and it was like we did 30 and 30 on the way out, and they just killed it. They just wow. absolutely crushed it. So they're picking up steam, and these are, you know, these dogs are experienced. They're not, you know, they're not a top 20 team out of, you know, if there's 50 teams in the Iditarod historically, but they're experienced. They've been to Nome, and you can see that experience. So as they're kind of a newer team to me, it's neat to see some of that come up, because these trips and these training, it's going to be, I mean, this is how we build our trust. And you know, one of the simplest things is that the experienced mushers say is just trust your dogs. And it's as simple as that sounds. I mean, you kind of have to. And that trip was amazing. But we came back, and this area we've been having historical lows for this time of year. Like, we were negative 30 the last time I was up there, almost the whole time, negative 20, and none of the ATVs would start. So down here, we can't be on sleds, and it's just been kind of it's just an extra bit of energy for everybody involved. You know, the dogs have to eat more. We have to be a little more careful, of course. And the two runs we did last time, we did two 30-mile runs in that weather, and you have to be dialed in. You can't make mistakes with your hands or your feet or the dogs, you know. And so we put coats on the dogs and booties, of course, but, like, you get back and you start feeling things in your hands, like, man, am I doing damage to myself right now? And like playing in one of those, you know, like Green Bay with and getting your hands smashed, like, those things
yes.
You don't recover from that,
right?
You know? It changes you. So we've it's been a little bit difficult, but I mean, it's all part of it. And yeah, I don't know, it's just we're slowly picking up pace to our first event in 2 weeks, and we're excited. So
great. Matt the Musher is with us from Eagle River, Alaska, where he took the day off for Thanksgiving, but has been training hard and getting ready now for kind of this next phase in the adventure. And we're so yep. pleased to be able to go along with him as he prepares for his first Iditarod next spring. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Okay, so then you've got what actual races coming up where you kind of up the ante for the dogs?
Yeah, the first one is kind of, like, I don't know, for me, I'm a fanboy still. These, like, it's amazing. So there's 50 teams in this race. It's 63 miles into that lodge that we just ran into, and we were one of the very first teams of the season to run into it, so our dogs know where they're going.
Good.
But it's a cheap race to get into, and then you get out there, and because your mushers, they can feed you kind of differently. Like, they don't have to adhere to a restaurant standards. Now, I know that sounds sketchy, but it's like you go in there and they feed you biscuits and gravy with moose meat, et cetera. And it's just kind of this, I don't know, real down-home event. But 50 teams.
Does it taste like chicken? I'm just teasing.
It is wonderful stuff. It's actually pretty damn good. But, no, it's a big party, it's rowdy. You're talking 50 teams, and then all the support staff, and half the teams will come in and just turn around and leave. It's our like kind of meet and greet kickoff like of the season, and it's like a who's who's of the mushing world, and we'll be conservative, but I don't know. It's kind of itching just to make that run and see what we can actually do too. So that race happens, and then we do one New Year's Day. And then my big race warm up for the Iditarod is the Copper Basin. That's the toughest 300 miler up here. And then we several of the races after that. But it's on. And what the veterans are telling me is don't blink, because this part of the season will go by super quick. Mm. And
baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Yeah, this is kind of like a preseason, if we're using football terms, or maybe a training camp or spring training for baseball, because you have an opportunity to actually do it in a race format and a race setting, even though it's not the same pressure as what you're talking about with the Iditarod. So that's amazing. I know it's going to be a crazy schedule for you, but whenever we have the opportunity around some of these races, even if it's after New Year's Day, we would love to hear how it's going. I get questions about you all the time. How's Matt? When are we going to talk to Matt again? When are we going to get to see more pictures? So to that end, a couple of questions, and then I'll let you go because I know you need rest too. Yeah. You sent us a photo of two puppers. I don't know their ages, their names, but what I do know is they have the greatest expressions on their faces. I can't stop looking at this photo. So it's up on our Twitter, A-Law Radio, and also on our Facebook page. So tell us a little bit about those two beauties.
Yes. So Klondike and Lorikins, and Klondike is our he's one of the few dogs that we can let off the leash, and we know he's not going to like just kind of start roaming the neighborhood. And he's this sweet, goofy boy, long, athletic, lanky. He's 3.5 years old. He's been to Nome. He's a leader. I don't know. He's like one of the, you know, he'd be like a great backup quarterback, maybe not the most heady or the most, this and that, but he's a game manager.
All right.
And I don't want to say Alex Smith.
So like Joe Flacco.
Yeah. He could win the Super Bowl. Sure. Long Lake, he's just a good guy. And so I'm excited to see what he does. He's definitely in the A-team pool, he's running next to a really smart girl, Lorikins. And Lorikins, I mean, that photo right there was probably taken at -25. That was during the Beaver Blood Moon eclipse run that we did, and they just looked great. I mean, they were eating well, they were snacking well, and they were running hard. But Lorikins is our G-Haw leader. She's our... If you yell G and that's the command to go right, she goes right. If you yell haw, she goes haw. And she's just spunky. She's a cheerleader. She just knows her business, you know, and she's like both of those dogs though, are lovers. Like you pet them and they want to be pet. They don't have that husky aloofness to them, you know, where they're just kind of pushing away from you. So they're pretty sweet. But there's a number of other ones that are, and they're both, I think Lorikins is actually 4 years old, so she's a little bit older. But we have a fairly young team. I mean, they age out probably around 8 or 9, although 9-year-olds finish the Iditarod at a higher percentage than any other. Because if they make it to the Iditarod at 9 years old, they know what they're doing, and they have like this preservation gene going on where they just kind of, they know what they're doing. But often 4 to 6 years old, that's your wheelhouse right there. And most of our dogs are just entering that phase, with the exception, we picked up a new dog named Tang, who came from another pro kennel, and Smoke Wagon, who are both, they've been to Nome multiple times, and they're kind of our pros. They're just going to melt into the team and do their business. But I don't know, Klondike and Lorikins, though, they're sweethearts, and we'll keep framing them, but I'm going to tell you, at negative 30, the last thing I think about doing is getting my phone out. So,
no, I got you.
the handlers have been so good at taking pictures, and I'm just kind of like little Napoleon marching around, kind of getting things around, kind of, you know, having this little anxious energy going on, kind of getting things moving, and they're smart enough to take pictures, so I'm glad to have them around.
One of the things that I love is that you post videos from your sled sometimes on your Facebook page, and so we'll have you tell people how to find those, but those are amazing because you get to see the one that I saw recently, the mountains on one side. It's a gorgeous setting. It's quiet. There's no one around, as you talk about. It's only really your breathing, the breathing of the dogs. You can hear the clopping of their feet on the snow that's hard packed. Just I can't even imagine what it's like to be out there, and just talk about a surreal experience where you feel like you're so much closer to creation. So I bet it's amazing. So yeah. I know I've seen a bunch of those that make me feel like I'm actually riding along with you, which is awesome. but you mentioned multiple times about cooking for the dog. So we just have about 60 seconds before I have to get to a break, but what do you mean cooking? You're actually cooking food for your dogs?
Well, yeah, I go and get ground beef or like tripe kidney, like combo, or we even ground chicken.
Wow.
And I cut it up into like Kit Kat sizes, and I put it into a cooler. And then it's like a denatured alcohol stove. Essentially, it's a pie pan where you put alcohol in it. It's in the bottom of a 5-gallon bucket that's metal, like a kind of a metal paint can type of bucket. You put a 3-gallon pan on top of this pie pan, and it just kind of sits elevated.
Mm-hmm.
That alcohol just goes at any temperature. You know, you don't have a stove with all these valves and rings and canisters. It starts up. So you either get creek water, or at checkpoints they'll have water, or you melt snow. And then I pour boiling water over this meat, and I might soak some of their kibble in it. And I cook for them. The most defeating thing, though, is you go through all of this process, and then they turn their nose up at it, and they just want to eat a frozen piece of fish, you know.
No!
And it's like, they'll do that all the time. So finding the rhythm is what I'm aiming to do, and they just continue to amaze me. But you just kind of, if they don't eat, you go okay guys, I see how this is, and then you let them sleep a little longer, and eventually they'll get hungry, and they'll start destroying food.
Are you telling me they're divas? They're doing all this work, and then they turn into divas. Like, they're wide receivers of sorts in the NFL.
Oh, 100%. People have to carry cat food. They'll get crappy old Roy food, so, like, they're going to eat nachos instead of eating filet. It's ridiculous, you know? So, yes, absolutely. And, so I'm hoping they all – and that's how I choose my team. If you're a pig, you get to come with me. You know, if you're going to be picky – talent could override some of that, though.
Oh, I love it. I love the heart. I love the heart. I love the attitude. I love the fact that they're so smart. And this photo of Klondike and Lorikins is fantastic. It's perfect because the expressions on their faces, they're staring right at the camera, and you can see the life and the heart in those eyes. So you can check that out. And Matt, how can people find you on Facebook to see your videos?
I am posting to Pavilio to Nome. It's like Pave the Road, PAVEGLIO, the number 2, and then NOME. And that's kind of, I don't have a website. I should get a friend that makes me a website here soon. find a friend with an airplane and a hot tub. There's all these things that you can do to get into my top 10 friends category.
Nice.
Website design would help. But I posted Facebook Pavilio to Nome.
Okay.
And that's kind of how I'm doing. And you know, if you like Lorikins and Klondike, you can sponsor one of them and buy them booties to get them to know them, you know.
Okay, that's it. I want to buy some hot pink booties for some dogs. That's what I'm doing now. It's gonna be my Christmas present for you, Matt, for all this great time that you spend with us. So, and if you don't know where to find Matt's Facebook page, he posts on our Facebook page a lot. Also, he's with us on Twitter too, and so we'll make sure. In fact, I should go back and actually use your Twitter handle so people can find you, but I know there you can see your videos on Facebook. So we love this. Be safe while you're training and with these early races, and then we'll catch up with you again either middle of the holidays or just after. But we're so excited for you, Matt. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes.
Amy, thank you for helping us and make us, you know, making us feel special. Appreciate it.
You are special. Happy Thanksgiving. We'll talk soon.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Booties, that's it. I'm buying hot pink booties, the color of Kyle Kuzma's sweater, for some dogs in Alaska. All right, if you haven't seen the photos, they're up A-Law Radio or on our Facebook page. Oh my gosh, it's a good thing the bosses don't listen on this morning, because I've blown our clock all to hell. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
If you are a sports fan, you need us.
Great show, love it. Thank you so much for what you do.
Kiss and hug.
Amy, love the show.
Amy, thanks for taking my call. Once in love with Amy, always in love with Amy.
I love this.
Become a big fan of yours real quick. Enjoy hearing you at night.
That's a great point, Amy. Love the show.
I think I'm the luckiest girl in the world. Who doesn't want to talk about sports for a living?
Thank you to you, Amy. I'm a single parent with two young girls. They listen to you in the morning, and it excites the crap out of them to hear a girl on the radio.
You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
That's me, just a girl on the radio. It's a pretty low bar, but we like it. We've got so much happening on our social media right now. I've decided that it's a social media matrix. And because I've blown our clock up and I'm completely out of whack now and I have to go record a CBS Sports Minute, this is going to be a pretty short little interlude here before we get to the back of the hour. But we gave you not just football, but Matt the Musher all in one extended long segment. So we didn't want to interrupt Matt, and it's past midnight in Alaska now. So for him to spend a few minutes with us to not only talk about our favorite training ever, like forget spring training, forget NFL preseason and training camps, Matt the Musher in Alaska with dogs who apparently at times turn up their noses at beef and they would just rather have frozen fish. Picky. So picky. Anyway, if you haven't seen the photo of Klondike and Larrikins, it's on Twitter, both of our Twitters, A-Law Radio or After Hours CBS, and then also on our MetaFace page. And like I said, Matt has been posting on our Facebook page, so if you check it out, you can easily find him on Facebook just by virtue of seeing his comments there. And we're so excited to be able to support him. I'm all about pink booties now. I can't wait. Now, in addition to the photos of the puppers, which is more than enough reason to go to our social media, while we're taking yet another break, here's what we need from you, or here's what you can do. We've got a brand new video up on YouTube. It's your chance to meet producer James. So 10 questions, a top 10 list of questions with producer James, because he's into top 10 lists. And that's on our YouTube channel, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Really fun stuff. My brother was thrilled because he was viewer number 8. My mom sent me a text, tell producer James it's nice to meet him. So my whole family now knows producer James, but many of you are getting to know him a little bit better. I'm telling you, we're going to replace the hat with something new at Christmas time. Maybe it'll be the same color as Kyle Kuzma's sweater. Just kidding. I wouldn't make you wear that. But anyway, so get to know producer James and also vote for the After Hours NFL Game of the Week. All of that on our social media matrix. Oh, and the recipe for the walnut apple crisp. I will let you know what happened with my Thanksgiving dessert adventure, because that was a big thing. Pretty exciting. So there's plenty to do there, even as we take another break.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
We welcome all kinds here on After Hours.
Lewis, who's in South Carolina, you're up next on After Hours.
Amy.
Yes.
You know, I'm a Clemson Tiger calling from South Kakalaki. I got to tell you, y'all had me cracking up. I want to have some of that stuff y'all were drinking while y'all doing. I got one more real quick thing, please.
Wait, there's no way you could possibly top that.
This is a lyric from Eddie Money. I think I'm in love and my life's looking up. I think I'm in love because I can't get enough. I'm in love with your show. I'm in love with you, Amy.
Aw, well, that's very sweet, Lewis.
I'm a pilot. I got a plane. I'll be there in about an hour.
You are one hell of a man.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I just saw this post on the video that producer James and I, he's really the star of the show, but producer James and I did together to introduce him to you with 10 questions. And I'm sure this is going to go straight to his head, but I'm going to read it anyway. This comes from Jamie. Jay, you're listening. This comes from Jamie. Is Jamie related to you, possibly? Awesome to be able to put a face with the voice. James is a great addition to your show. Cool customer in front of the camera.
Wow, cool customer.
Oh, look, that's you. That. Cool customer. Happy Thanksgiving to both of you from here in Lena, Wisconsin. So, you know, you've got fans now all over. I told James earlier that, hey, it's great and all to be big time, but it better not go to your head because somebody still has to do the work around here and I can't do any more than I'm already doing.
Always stay humble. That's the motto.
That's your motto? Always stay humble?
It is now.
All of a sudden, he's had a taste of superstardom, and he's adopted a new motto, always stay humble.
Always stay humble.
If you have not seen the video, well, you're missing out because it's James, well, as you've never seen him or heard him before, it's fantastic. So it's on our YouTube channel, and it's there for you to find whatever you like. The link is pinned to the top of our Facebook page, and then it's also on Twitter, both mine as well as our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. It's going to be great. We've got so much good stuff. So look for the After Hours Game of the Week poll. You can find the mesmerizing photo of Klondike. I just have to know how they name these dogs because that's perfect for Alaska, is it not?
It's like the best name for Klondike I've ever heard.
Seriously. Klondike and Larrikins and their booties. I'm about to buy dog booties. That's now my new favorite charity. And then in addition to that, the recipe for the walnut apple crisp that I made for the first time on Thanksgiving morning. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. We're going to get to your calls here before the top, 855-212-4227. As you know, even though our Game of the Week poll is focused on the NFL, it's a big holiday weekend of college football coming your way on CBS. And it starts Friday at noon Eastern with a Mountain West matchup between Boise State and number 19, San Diego State, followed by Missouri, matching up with number 21, Arkansas, inside the SEC. Then on Saturday, it's a double dose of the SEC on CBS. Number 2, Alabama and Auburn, with another chapter in the Iron Bowl. You want to talk about familiarity that breeds contempt. Oh, my goodness. I spoke to one of my young friends. She's a young girl. Well, she's 21, but she's a young adult that I mentor, and she's in Alabama, and she was just raging at me on Wednesday night about what Alabama's like right now. Like, oh, that's crazy. Yeah. So Iron Bowl, they become a completely different species of human during the Iron Bowl and Iron Bowl weekend there in Alabama. So that's coming up on CBS. They start Saturday with the drive to Atlanta and then State Farm College Football today. It's all coming up on Friday and Saturday only on CBS. Now, we could have done an entirely separate poll about the college game, the college rivalry game that you're most looking forward to. I'm not going to be home. Don't you worry. I have a DVR. It works great. I use it for everything. Had to set my DVR for Ohio State, Michigan, because I want to watch it in its entirety as opposed to just catching the second half of it when I'll get home. So I'm really looking forward to that. No one tell me about the score. Don't spoil it. Actually, it doesn't matter. I'm going to watch it either way. And so then we've got Bedlam as well. We have all kinds of matchups that will affect the college football playoff rankings when they come out next week. So all good stuff. I did want to tell you about the desserts, but wait, yes? Is it too soon? Or is it okay to do this now that we're post-Thanksgiving? It's my favorite.
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas.
It's too soon, isn't it?
It's after Thanksgiving, officially. On the West Coast, on the East Coast. It's Christmas music time.
It's stuck in your head now. I know it.
I think this is going to be a daily thing on the show. Oh, I want a hippopotamus hour.
That's just mean. I mean, it's never, ever, ever a bad time for Hippopotamus for Christmas. It's my favorite song. I can't help it. Anyway, we've decided we're already in the Christmas spirit here, so you're welcome. 855-212-4227. Let's quick talk to Zach, who's in St. Augustine, Florida. Zach, welcome to After Hours. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Or late Thanksgiving, I guess.
Yeah, it's still Thanksgiving weekend. I bet people are still eating Thanksgiving food, even on Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Oh, I know I will be. I'm actually a first-time caller, first-time listener, to
Sweet.
Be honest.
Love that.
And, yeah, so you got me hooked.
That's it? One show? 1 hour? Oh, well, I appreciate that. Usually I tell people to give me 2 weeks.
Since the start, so,
okay. All right.
Yeah. I just called in like an hour ago. That was it. You mentioned something, and that was the reason why I called in. And then somebody else that called in mentioned something about, your grandparent.
My Grammy, my Grammy Helen. Yep.
Well, no, passing away from, lung cancer.
Yeah. Both my grandfathers.
Yes. My grandmother, God bless her, she passed away in May of 2020 from lung cancer.
Oh gosh, that's so hard.
Yeah, I know. But she was a fighter. She was a diehard Jags fan and everything, and she got me hooked on the Jags. I was a Lions fan before that, so I mean, I've never really had the good luck charm in having football teams. So, she used to call the Jaguars the Cardiac Cats. Because there was like 1 year where David Garrard was there. It was like the greatest 8-8 season Jaguars ever had. Apparently, like the year they—I don't know if you know this—the year they had the crazy Hail Mary that was like batted down against the Texans, and then I think Mike Thomas or something ran it, just walked in for a touchdown.
What I remember about the Jags when they were still an expansion team, they beat the Broncos as the top seed in the AFC playoffs with Mark Brunell as their starting quarterback. That's what I remember about the Jags. Plus, they went to the AFC championship with Blake Bortles a couple years ago. So, Zach, yeah. I just have about like 30 seconds, but I'll give you those 30 seconds to finish up. You're going to hear the music here because we're at the top of the hour.
All right. So I wanted to ask Lions and Jaguars, who do you think will get their win first?
Well, the Jaguars already have a big win over the Bills. I'm not giving up on the Lions, Zach. I do believe they're going to win a game before this season is over. I'm going to stick to that unless they prove me wrong. So you call back when that happens. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.